Talking dental health now here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Really pleased to have him back. And certainly if you have a question about your teeth or maybe your kids' teeth, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Oh, same here, Larry. Good to be here.
Somebody asked me, how many times a day do you brush your teeth? I said, I usually brush my teeth twice a day, morning after breakfast and usually in the evening just before I go to bed. And
that's about right.
That's about, this woman said, well, I like to brush three times a day. I brush in the middle. And I said, well, I use my stimulants in the middle of the day and I don't, but twice a day, fine.
Yeah, it is. Three times a day is fine. I mean, you know, whatever you feel like. My daughter happens to be an inveterate toothbrusher. She brushes, you know, probably five times a day. But she just likes to have the clean feeling mm-hmm. in her mouth all the time. And there's really no harm in it. The only problem with real excessive toothbrushing is wear on the teeth.
Yeah.
You can actually cause your gums to shrink and expose parts of the root surfaces of the teeth if you overbrush. So, you know, people who do a lot of brushing should use a very soft toothbrush and a minimum amount of toothpaste.
Ellen in Wausau has a question for you. So let's go to Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question. Recently, I was at the dentist for cleaning, and they took x-rays, and there seemed to be no problem with the teeth. But the person who cleaned my teeth mentioned some bleeding gums near the back.
Mm-hmm.
The dentist looked and said that I had two lower back molars that were cracked, and he suggested a treatment called CEREC. I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very expensive, and I'm almost 80 years old, and I'm wondering if there might be other options.
Well, the first question would be, are the teeth bothering you at all?
No.
Okay.
No pain.
CEREC is the brand name for a form of creating tooth crowns out of using CAD/CAM technology. That's computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacture, CAD/CAM. And what is done with these is an impression is taken of the tooth. This is scanned into a computer. The computer is connected to a milling machine, and then the milling machine actually mills the crown out of a block of porcelain to fit the tooth. And it's quite a good system, and it's very quick because you don't have to use a dental laboratory. These units are generally within the dental office themselves, and they can turn them out like overnight. So it's quick. But as you said, it's a rather expensive procedure. Any crowning procedure is expensive for reasonably expensive for teeth. And my own opinion on these things is that, you know, if it isn't really broken, you don't really have to fix it. If your tooth is asymptomatic and the little bit of bleeding gums around the area, it really doesn't have anything to do with a cracked tooth particularly. Mm. So some improvement perhaps in your home care would take care of the bleeding gums, and everything else might be okay for the future. The only possibility of a tooth that has a crack in it is it may actually break at some point in time. You could have a piece of enamel or something fracture off of it, in which case then a crown probably would be necessary. But if you avoid chewing on popcorn hulls and hard things like that, you probably will get along pretty well. But, you know, you mentioned your age. You know, as far as I'm concerned, age is not a factor. If you're not comfortable and your teeth are bothering you, you know, it doesn't really make any difference what your age is. You should deal with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's asymptomatic and you really don't have a problem with it, there's no reason why you can't kind of tease this along for a while without any problems.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest, if you would like to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area at 263-1890, and email us at talk@wpr.org. We've got some open lines, and we can get you on pretty quickly here. You know, that is a good comment. You know, if your teeth aren't really hurting, or if you got a tooth that like that cracked.
Well, you know, a lot of teeth have little fracture lines in them. I mean, over the years, the fillings that you have in your teeth put stress on the enamel walls, and they can get these little fracture lines. That doesn't necessarily mean that the tooth needs a crown at that point in time. It may eventually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we hear a lot from people, I'm 80 years old. Why should I spend $3,000 on these crowns? You know, but my answer to that is, you know, if it means that you can eat better, you're more comfortable, there's less complication with foods that you're chewing, then it's worth whatever it is to keep yourself happy and comfortable with eating and keeping your teeth from bothering you.
Yeah.
So then it's worth any amount. But, you know, if you're not having problems, you know, you can do whatever you want, basically.
Well, let's take some more calls here. And
there are a lot of dentists who probably disagree with this philosophy, but, you know, I'm from the old school, so.
All right. Well, let's go to Nina from Madison, see what's on her mind. Hi, Nina.
Hi. Every time I go to the dentist, my hygienist tells me that if I floss and there's blood in it, that, or if it's sensitive and it's bleeding, that I should get way down in there and make it bleed, and because that's a sign of infection, and that bleeding helps get the infection out. Is that wrong?
I would tend to disagree with that.
Okay.
I think basically if you overuse dental floss, you can actually cause damage to your gums.
Okay.
Dental floss is very thin. It's very strong. I have seen people who have actually cut grooves and slots in their gum tissue from overzealous dental flossing. There are other ways of dealing with the areas between the teeth as far as bleeding gums are concerned. Larry mentioned them earlier. There's a little balsa wood toothpick-like device called a Stimudent. These are available in any pharmacy and most of the big, you know, big box stores and so forth and so on. These are used between the teeth, just like a toothpick, but being balsa wood, they're soft and don't do any damage like a toothpick can. Toothpicks are very hard wood, and they actually can abrade the teeth themselves if you're overzealous with them. But with the Stimudent, they don't. And these are excellent for the areas between the teeth. You know, Larry was telling me before that since he's been using Stimudents, his dental hygienist is...
She loves me.
She loves him because she doesn't have to work very hard when he comes into the office. So I would try them if I were you and see if that helps that bleeding problem. But go easy on the floss. Floss is wonderful. It really cleans the areas between the teeth. But if you're overzealous with it, you can actually do damage.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And on to Jody in Nina. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I'm calling in regards to my daughter and her dental care. Just before her fourth birthday, she went to the dentist and had 8 cavities. So nonetheless, had to have extensive dental work. And she wasn't a juice drinker. She had a low-sugar diet. You know, she didn't take a bottle. Thought I was doing all the right things. But she had very deep grooves in her teeth, which led to any sort of carbohydrate or dried fruit kind of sticking in her teeth and led to decay. And so I'm wondering if you could just speak to that a little bit, because I don't know if people really think about those things. You know, I think about a low-sugar diet and not sending your child to bed with a bottle and things like that.
Right.
And then also my question would be if there's anything that I should be aware of now as her as she loses her baby teeth.
How old is she now?
She's 5. And
she's 5. Okay. Well, you know, teeth vary, and some teeth have very deep grooves in the surface of the teeth, and they will accumulate material just like you mentioned. One way of dealing with that, if that's the situation, of course, is to make sure that that material is brushed out of the teeth, you know, regularly. After eating things like dried fruit or anything that's real sticky that would stick in those grooves, running a toothbrush across them gets that stuff out of there and keeps it nice and clean, which would prevent that. Another way of dealing with deep grooves in teeth, and it's very popular today as a preventive, is the sealants. These are types of resins which are actually bonded to the tooth and fill the grooves. In the dental office, what they do is they clean the teeth very thoroughly, make sure there is no debris in those grooves, sometimes using even a little like sandblaster to, mm-hmm. to clean the grooves out, and then they bond this material onto the teeth, and that seals those grooves and prevents decay that way. This is very commonly used with permanent teeth and is very frequently used with the primary teeth if necessary. So there are ways of dealing with this problem, and we see it from occasionally. Most of the time, the baby teeth with reasonably good home care and fluoride toothpastes and fluoride treatments in the dental office, they are pretty much resistant to decay. But occasionally you run into a child who has a more tendency to get decay in their teeth, and there are some preventive things that can be done, and I would certainly discuss it with the dentist to decide what method would be best. There's also something now, it's a fluoride varnish, which is actually applied to the teeth and creates kind of like a barrier against decay. So there's a lot of different ways of preventive dentistry today, and it should be discussed with your dentist.
Does your daughter brush her teeth pretty well?
Yeah, she does. And even she would just brush without toothpaste, you know, after meals. It was quite shocking.
Yeah, it always is when things like that happen. These were probably small cavities in the tops of the teeth where the grooves were the deepest.
And a lot of in between the teeth.
Yeah, yeah, it does happen. It does happen. And you were just unfortunate that you had a child that ran this, that this happened to. But it can be dealt with, and certainly it should be carefully observed as when her permanent teeth come in to see whether they have deep grooves or not. And I would certainly suggest thinking about sealants on her permanent teeth.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jody. Mary and Nina as well. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had two crowns done about 10 years ago, the very back big molar on the top, both sides. One of them had a root canal and then a crown, and the other one, no root canal and crown. I've had problems with these since then. The tooth with the root canal has never stopped aching. Oh. And so, yes, I'm now with a new dentist I'm very happy with, and he's done some other work. And I'm wondering whether I should, he's suggesting either taking these crowns off, rechecking the rest of the tooth underneath, or dental implants to just solve the problem completely. The tooth that had the crown without the root canal now has decay in it also underneath the crown. Yeah.
Okay. Well, certainly that one, the crown needs to be replaced anyway.
Right.
My feeling would be to at least go the more conservative route first. Really take the crowns off and see what's going on underneath there. The tooth with the root canal might have a crack in it. And that could be causing your discomfort. That would be probably revealed once the crown was taken off and any filling material was removed from the area. The dentist could visualize that with magnification and light and be able to see whether there is a crack in that tooth. If the tooth is cracked through and through, then there's really nothing you can do about it. You have to have it extracted. And that's where an implant might be considered. On the other tooth with the decay under it, that might be just a matter of removing that crown, removing the decay, and replacing the crown.
Well, thank you.
So I would certainly go a more conservative route before considering extracting the teeth and putting in implants.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
And Tom, I believe, is next. Tom, I'm not sure where you're from, but Tom, hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I got a couple of wisdom teeth that are embedded in the gums. And
you and about 60% of the population.
Well, and they're like pushing up against my back molars.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned 58, and now they're starting to, all at once they're coming through the gums. But the dentist said they won't come up probably, and they should be removed.
Okay, are they doing any damage to the adjacent teeth? Did they detect any?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But he just said that they will deteriorate because you can't clean them.
Right. He's right in that respect. Also, you know, if they're only partially exposed too, it's not unusual for you to get a piece of food particle or a seed or a popcorn hull stuck underneath that little flap of gum tissue that's covering them and getting a pretty decent infection in there, which, you know, would have to be cleaned out and then some antibiotics and so forth and so on. So if this is going to be a problem for you, possibly it is the best thing to do to get those wisdom teeth out.
And he's also mentioned that he might have to remove bone in order to get...
It depends on whether there is some bone covering over the teeth. Sometimes a little bit of the bone structure over the tooth has to be removed in order to gain enough access to get the tooth out. So you might want to possibly... Is this your family dentist and he's going to do this himself?
He'd sent me to an oral surgeon.
Okay. I was going to suggest perhaps a second opinion from an oral surgeon before you get it done. Mm-hmm. But if you've been to an oral surgeon and he agrees with that approach, you know, I would stick with the oral surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good luck, Tom. Thank you very much for calling.
Oral surgeons really know about that.
Mm-hmm.
that's their specialty.
They spend a lot of time working on
that. They spend a lot of time doing that sort of thing, and they get really good at it, too.
Angela in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Angela.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about beverages. We know that I know that soda isn't very good for your teeth, and so I really limit my soda intake. But I'm wondering about the carbonated beverages with the natural flavors, like the chlorobrune type soda or drinks. Are those any better for my teeth, or am I not doing myself a favor by drinking those either?
Well, chlorobrune is basically water with just some flavoring in it and a little carbonation. There really is no sweeteners in there at all. So, you know, you can drink as much of that as you want. There's probably going to be no harm at all to your teeth from that. The harm comes from the high sugar content in regular soft drinks, and also the carbonation creates carbonic acid, which is, you know, it's minor, but it can cause some problems with the teeth if you really are overindulgent in those things. I saw a patient just the other day that had erosions on their teeth, on their front teeth, and I said to them, "Do you ever suck on lemon wedges?" And they said, "Yeah, I do." And so the acid in lemon will actually etch the enamel on the teeth. And so these are things you have to kind of be a little careful of. But certainly the flavored waters with no sweetener in them are harmless. You can drink all you want.
I guess I was more concerned about the carbonation, but it's not that much of a problem.
No, the carbonation is very, very minimal. I mean, that, you know, the stuff goes right past your teeth, you know, down your throat, and it doesn't stay there very long, and it's gone. If you were drinking a lot of high sugar content soft drinks, I would suggest rinsing your mouth after drinking, just with plain old water. Rinse and swallow, and that gets rid of the sugar that's retained on the teeth after drinking things like Coca-Cola.
What about Diet Coke, let's say, or Diet Pepsi, or any of these Diet Colas?
Well, you know, there hasn't been an awful lot of research done on artificial sweeteners, and they don't really know if an excessive amount of artificial sweetener will do in the body. So, you know, my feeling is everything in moderation, please.
Good luck. Thanks a lot, Angela, for calling. Appreciate it. Talking dental health today with Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Martinez White, our on-air producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking dental health with Dr. Lowell Lakritz. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. We'll go right back to the phones. Lots of callers online. Michelle in Madison is next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I had a question about my daughter, Megan, has... all the important things she needs for, you know, her sealant. She goes to the dentist twice a year. She brushes her teeth twice a day. But her teeth are yellow.
How old is she?
She's nine.
Nine. Okay, so she's got her permanent front teeth?
Yeah.
And they are yellower than her baby teeth were?
Yeah. They just... And it's mostly just the front ones. They just seem like they have a yellow film on them.
Well, it could be that, you know, the teeth, when they're forming... in the body, and the enamel is forming. This is a mineralogical phenomenon. The enamel contains lots of phosphates and calcium and things like that. And depending on how the enamel forms, basically creates the color. And tooth color is also connected genetically as well. You know, if there's a tendency to darker color teeth in the family, that persists in each generation. But there are ways today of lightening teeth. People like to have nice white teeth. She's a little young to start, but I would wait until perhaps she has all of her permanent teeth in, which would be sometime around the age of 13 or so, 12, 13, 14. And okay. She could probably do a whitening procedure in the dental office. There are many different types today of being done. There are some that you take home. They make you a little mouth guard, and you fill this with a whitening gel, and you wear that for a couple hours every day. There are some procedures that are done right in the office, which are quicker. So these are things to consider in the future if the yellowness of the teeth creates a cosmetic problem.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's not indicative of, like, poor tooth health or
no,
anything?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Michelle. And Heather in La Crosse, hello to you.
Hey, hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I kind of have a two-part question regarding sensitive teeth. I guess my first question is can it be heredity that my father has very sensitive teeth? I have always had incredibly sensitive teeth, and I'm wondering if that will be something that my children might experience as well. One of my questions is, I'm very sensitive to sweet things, and I will get what I call zingers in my teeth, yet when I go to the dentist, they say my teeth are okay, and I don't know what to do about this.
Well, there are some desensitizing toothpastes on the market that are fairly effective. There is a brand called Sensodyne, which has about 10 different flavors and mm-hmm. and things like that. And then also Crest makes a desensitizing toothpaste as well. These have different types of formulations with them and different types of desensitizing agents, but they tend to work pretty well, although not instantaneously. You have to use the toothpaste for a couple of weeks, up to a month, before you notice any kind of effect. People who have real sensitivity to sweets and cold, because of gum shrinkage or exposure of the root surfaces of the teeth where the nerves are really more prevalent, they find that this helps quite a bit. So it's something you could certainly try.
And I've used sensitive toothpaste probably for about 4 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
are you using Sensodyne? Or?
I've used Crest. I've
okay.
used Sensodyne. And I've also used, there's one, I think, by Aquafresh and a Colgate
sure.
one.
Oh.
Because, you know, my dentist has thought that maybe, you know, a different one. And then he has also suggested that I leave it on my teeth, that I don't rinse it out, that may give me the extra boost I need. I've tried all the suggestions. So then I worry for my children that it is not an enjoyable thing. And I'm wondering, can it pass?
I don't have any indication that that's a hereditary problem.
Okay.
Even though you and your father both have the problem, it's probably more of a symptomatic thing, localized. Is your discomfort just generally all over the mouth, or is it in
no,
just certain areas?
It is certain. There are certain teeth I have. My front teeth are very sensitive.
Okay.
And then I have. It changes from molar to molar. You know, 1 month it's one, another month it's another. But it never, I'm never free of it.
Okay.
So I only chew on one side of my mouth for 1 month, and the next month I might chew on the other side.
There are also some desensitizing agents that can be directly applied to the teeth in the dental office.
Okay.
You might discuss this with your dentist, too.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Still some alternatives to pursue there, Heather. Let's go to Mike in Madison next. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I'm wondering about root canals. My first one was done by a specialist. It was a two-visit procedure. On the second one, he checked for bacteria infection before he permanently filled the canals. The second one was done rather quickly at the dentist's office. Is that just more modern?
Well, there are as the techniques and the science of doing root canal therapy has advanced over the years, they've come up with techniques which require fewer appointments. And many root canals now are done in one appointment because of the increased efficiency of the technology involved. So it's not unusual to do that. It usually takes some specific training, using the special instrumentation that they have to perform them at one time, all in one appointment. But that training is not really difficult for an experienced dentist, but it is pretty much necessary to do the technique properly. There's kind of a learning curve because now in the old days when I started, the root canals we did were done with little hand instruments, and you'd use them between your index finger and your thumb, and you'd rotate them and you'd clean the canals with that. Now they have mechanical canal cleansing tools and instruments, which do the job a lot faster and much more efficiently. They actually have electronic instruments now which will measure the length of the tooth so that you put your little instrument in there to the actual precise length of the tooth. And so, but there's a learning curve, and it does require a little extra training, but it's very in common use today. So,
okay.
Don't worry about it. As long as the tooth was done properly and the root canal is properly filled, there should be no problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike. Pat in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Pat.
Hi. My question is in regard to my brother, who is 64, had crown put on, a lower molar, and then he developed a lot of discomfort with it. The dentist who put it on took it off and said that, or maybe didn't take it off, but anyway, discovered that there was nerve damage, that the nerve actually died. Now, my brother is discouraged and disgusted. You know, he spent a lot of money, and he's just saying, I'm just going to have it pulled out. The dentist actually recommended a root canal, you know. Anyway, I'm on my cell phone, so I'll listen on the air.
Okay. Well, this happens from time to time, in that when crowns are done, the tooth does not respond well to the insult, actually. And the nerve, if the decay or anything that was there originally was very close to the nerve, and subsequently the nerve can die within the tooth, and then this creates a problem such as what your brother has. My first impression would be, a root canal is going to solve the problem. You have to make a small hole in the top of the crown, and you access into the nerve, and you do the regular root canal, and then seal the little hole back up. You don't have to take the crown off or redo it to get that procedure done. And, you know, I always tell patients, well, you have to make a value judgment about this in your own mind. I mean, do you value this tooth? Does it help you chew? Does it, you know, do you like to chew on that side? If that tooth is gone, you're going to lose, you know, 25-30% of your chewing efficiency on that side. So, you know, you have to make the value judgment. And as I said earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard it, but, you know, your comfort is a great thing to consider when you're trying to rationalize the expense of some of these dental procedures. And so if you feel that you're not going to be as comfortable eating and chewing as you would be without that tooth, than you would be with the tooth, you know, the expense is worthwhile to save the tooth. So, you know, I would certainly recommend to your brother that he have the root canal done.
And thanks, Pat, for calling. Gary in Marinette, I believe. Marinette or Manistee?
Manistee.
Sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
That's in Michigan.
Ah, okay. That's why I didn't recognize the name.
Oh, he's a Youper.
Youper. What's on your mind, Gary?
Well, there's a lot on my mind. A couple things, at least, I'll try to cover here. The mercury and amalgams, I'm interested in some comments about that. And bonding a tooth that has a crown on it to your regular tooth. I'd like to...
To this tooth next to it, okay.
Like to find out about that.
And what do you want to know about? Is that effective or...
Right, if it's effective and if what they could use to make it effective so I don't have to go through an implant or...
Okay, the problem is to bond a crown to an adjacent tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. I'm not quite sure why they would want to do that.
I actually want it done. I've had root canal, new crown, a picoectomy. I've spent a fortune on this tooth already, and I want to know about bonding it.
Is it a front tooth?
Yeah, it's a lower front, the two lower front ones. I had the same situation with, but one is... firm. The other one's getting very loose.
It sounds like there may be a fracture in there. That's what it, the usually with these lower front teeth, the roots are very, very slender.
Oh, they were fractured originally, they told me.
Right. I'm talking about a fracture of the root itself, a vertical fracture going right down the root. Basically, a lot of times in doing root canal work on these very slender, small roots, you can get a hairline crack, actually, in the root itself, which would cause a problem. The fact that you have one of these, that they were both treated the same way, and one of them is doing badly and the other one is fine, kind of leads me to think that something specific is wrong with that one tooth. On a temporary, and the tooth has have crowns on them?
Yes.
It's very difficult to bond crowns together because the porcelain is not easily adhered to as enamel would be on a regular tooth. Some alternative has to be thought of here, I think. Possibly an implant, possibly a bridge. You know, those things are things you'll have to discuss with your dentist. And, you know, my feeling is if you don't get a good explanation from one dentist, there's no problem going to get a second opinion from another one. So that would be my suggestion. Going back to your first question about the mercury in dental amalgams, amalgam fillings have been placed in teeth for well over 150 years. And a lot of research over the last 25 years has gone into this issue. And every bit of research that has been done has shown that basically the mercury in amalgam fillings is virtually harmless to the body. There is a small release of mercury in the parts per trillion. And you get more mercury from eating a tuna fish salad sandwich than you would from your teeth over a period of years. So basically it's something that we in the dental profession feel is not an issue, and silver fillings containing mercury are really durable, long-lasting fillings, and they're economical, and we still use them a lot. There are some dentists who have abandoned the use of it, basically because patients want them to. But I myself have no problem. If I had one of my grandchildren with a cavity, I'd have no problem putting an amalgam filling into one of those teeth for my grandchildren. So I feel very strongly about that.
Could you comment about dental care being part of a universal health care program?
That's another big issue. You know, we're talking politics here now. Medicare has very little dental coverage in it. They cover a lot of medical problems, but they cover very few dental problems other than some surgical procedures that are associated with dental care. Whether or not that ever becomes a reality, I would like to see it become a reality, but whether or not it does, it's a political issue. Excuse me.
Could it be, though? I mean, people can develop other problems from bad teeth.
Oh, absolutely.
And gums.
And gums. Mostly right, bad gums. You know, periodontal disease is now being researched very, very carefully and is being shown to have an influence on general health, including, you know, cardiac problems, arterial sclerosis, diabetes, excessive fat in the body and so forth. And these things are showing to be somewhat related because of the inflammatory response that the body gets from gum disease. So, you know, healthy gums are important.
Right.
Good teeth are important. And, you know, these issues should be addressed, you know, by universal health care or Medicare. But, you know, unfortunately, they're not because it's a political issue.
Are dentists pushing for it?
I think so. You know, dentists are one of the few people in the health professions that seek to put themselves out of business because we're always looking for preventive measures. And, you know, things like sealants to prevent cavities, fluoride treatments, all these things which tend to eliminate dental problems. That's one of the reasons why sort of dentistry is leaning toward the cosmetic problems that people have today. People want bright white smiles, mm-hmm. and so the dental profession is kind of leaning toward that because basically we've developed an awful lot of preventive measures that have cut out a lot of our business. So,
reminded me of one other thing. What about the whitening strips? Are they safe?
They're safe. The whitening strips themselves are not all that effective, but they do work, but with a lot less effectiveness than a direct type of whitening in the dental office or the take-home type thing that I mentioned earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. You get a little mouth guard made, and you fill this with a whitening gel, and you wear it for, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day or
from
overnight.
From the dentist.
Yeah, from the dentist, right. It has to be custom fitted.
Thank you very much for answering all that for me.
You're welcome. Yeah. Glad to do it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Mike in Coon Valley, you're next. Hi, Mike.
Okay, make it quick. I had a crack in one of my upper molars, and I never got around to taking care of it. Had a lot of pain there. I couldn't eat on that side. The other night I was eating popcorn, and lo and behold, I broke it off.
And it doesn't hurt anymore, right?
It doesn't hurt anymore, but I do have a rough spot in there.
Right.
What kind of options am I looking at other than getting that molar crowned?
Very little. That's basically the solution to the problem. Very frequently, these teeth which have cracks in them, when you bite down on them, it stresses the tooth, and that's what causes the pain. Eventually, if the piece breaks off, there's no more stress, and that's why it doesn't hurt anymore. But now you've got a tooth with a piece missing. And
your tongue is sticking in there all the time.
Yeah, right, and you're playing with it all the time. But also, you know, more of it may fracture out and irreparably damage the tooth. So the idea would be to get some type of a crown put on that tooth to restore it and make it functional again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mike. And Dick in Janesville, hi to you.
Hello. I have a question about your view of the relative merits of water picking versus dental flossing. I have trouble getting my hands in to do a good dental floss job, and I have been water picking. Last time the hygienist cleaned my teeth, she said on her own, "You use a water pick, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, your gums are looking extremely good." And I'm wondering, what's your view?
My view is that anything that does the job is what you should be doing. You have to keep your gums healthy based on what we're finding out about general health and its relationship to gum disease. So any technique that does the job is a good one. Earlier in the show, Larry and I were discussing Stimudents, which are these little balsa wood toothpicks. Dental floss is good. Water picks are good. Anything which will get the plaque and the debris off of your teeth, there's a biofilm that builds up on teeth that has to be removed. And any way that you can get that off of there is going to create a healthier situation in the mouth. So, you know, I usually recommend people do what they feel comfortable with, but do a good job of it.
Yep.
All right. And the water picking is effective.
It is effective,
in
yes.
In the same way as flossing.
Well, it's not quite as good, but it is effective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're right.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And it's got time for one more here. Tim in Appleton. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hi.
One more quick one.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Last time I got my teeth cleaned, I noticed after I got home that in one of my molars near the gum line, there was like a orangish color, like on the bottom of the tooth, close to the gums. And I mean, it was probably there before the cleaning too, but I'm just wondering, I guess, what that is and why that wasn't able to come off during my cleaning. And I guess I noticed now in one of my front teeth, again, close to the gum line, there's like an orange.
Yeah, well, without being able to see it, I can't really tell you what it is. My suggestion would be to go back to the dental office and have them look at it, and maybe they can give you a better explanation of what the cause is. It could be anything from shrinkage of the gum tissue and exposure of the root surface, which generally is a darker color than the tooth. It could be anything that, you know, there's several different possibilities, but, you know, without being able to look at it, I really can't tell you.
That one.
Yeah.
Well, Lowell, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, this was a lot of fun today, Larry. Yeah, good questions from the audience.
Good questions, and we'll look forward to your next visit.
I certainly hope so.
Dr. Lowell Ackritz, our guest. He'll be back. He's from Madison. He's been with us for many a year now, and really always a pleasure to have him along, and we'll look forward to his next visit. And thanks, everybody, who called in with their questions. They're really a lot of great questions. And I bet we get some good questions coming up as well as we talk about Macintosh computers and accessories with Joe Rhodes. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.